This is Around the A, a weekly look at the top stories, news, and interviews from the NHL's top developmental league with your hosts, David Foote and Patrick Williams on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Episode 13 of Around the A, a little superstitious here, so we're going to call it the first annual Around the A All-Star Unveiling episode. And we say unveiling because the rosters are out for the upcoming AHL All-Star Classic coming up at the end of the month out in Ontario, California, but they're likely going to change over the next couple of weeks. So we'll keep you up to date on that as well. David Foote and Patrick Williams here with you again. Thanks for tuning in wherever you might be listening on the Sports Podcasting Network, on Apple Music, on Spotify, on Google Play, wherever it is. We're so glad to have you back for another episode. This week, we are going to talk to a couple of guys who are slated to head to the AHL All-Star Classic and likely will both be there. The head coach of the North Division, Chris Taylor, from the division-leading Rochester Americans will join us. And Reed Boucher, one of the top scorers in the American Hockey League, will be with us as well. And great news for the show, Pat, is you're going to the AHL All-Star Classic in a few weeks. And we're going to have tons of good stuff from there a few weeks from now.
Oh, I mean, it's fantastic from a media standpoint in the sense that you have 48 players, 12 players per team out there. You have your four coaches. You have tons of general managers and executives, and kind of a who's who of both the NHL and the AHL are usually there. Dave Andrews, this will be his final as AHL president and CEO, so that will be a big deal. And I think certainly with it being out on the West Coast for the first time, players will definitely be enthusiastic about being there. It's a great event. I mean, the game itself is what it is. It's an all-star game, but I think it's more that all the off-ice stuff. And I think the league really does a nice job trying to put that on every year. And I think it also needs to be said that the teams, do a tremendous amount of work for that to help it put it on each year. Last year it was in Springfield, the Springfield Thunderbirds. These are most of these teams. The front offices are pretty lean operations. They make do with as minimal amount of personnel as necessary. There's not a whole lot of excess with any AHL front office. So they have all their usual work that goes on through the whole season, and the ads as well. So the team and the league collaborates and they pull it off, and usually they tie it in with the local tourism group as well. And as I think certainly now with it being in California, that's another added little bonus. The first time it's I've been out there, and it'll be interesting to see how those Western Conference fans out there in the Pacific Division who don't see the Eastern Conference very much, how they take to it. And it's been kind of the culmination, of years and years of work for the league in bringing the league out to the West Coast and putting it, first five teams there. Then they brought in Tucson. And then Colorado, which isn't really necessarily West Coast, but certainly they fill up the division. And then, a couple of years, Palm Springs. So it's just a really, really a huge chapter in the league history. And in a lot of ways, a very fitting way for Dave Andrews to close out, his final season where, he was a massive, massive part of that whole West Coast movement. And now that all comes to fruition out there at the Toyota Arena in Ontario. It's about an hour east of Los Angeles. It's a big market, and I think the fan base there will be pretty excited to see what they see, at the two-day event.
Yeah, and it's much more than just the All-Star, spectacle of putting the players on display. You get the State of the League address from the commissioner, which, as you mentioned, is a crucial one this year with Dave Andrews already announcing that he's done at the end of the season. You get a lot of fan interaction as well, and I think you bang on when you talk about the importance of doing this in California, where not only is there a new team coming in, but there's a pile of teams out there. And I'm expecting to see a lot of fans out to take in the All-Star Classic and see what some of these other, teams and players from this side of the continent have to offer.
Yeah, it's a really good fan event. I think that's the thing that always stands out to me is, on that first night especially, the glass is down. So Players really throughout the course of the evening are over there signing autographs for the kids, taking photos. It's fan friendly, and you know, it's an opportunity. You know, if you bring your family, they can see up close, you know, some of the top young prospects in all of hockey, and you know, get to meet them. And players are always in a good mood. You know, they go out there and you know, it's a little bit, especially this year with it being in a warm weather market, it's going to be a little bit of a mini holiday for a lot of them, and a chance to break things up. So they're in a good mood, and the league does a lot of puts a lot of effort into making sure that it is fan friendly, and that you know, they're also you know, if you're a souvenir or jersey type of fan, certainly it's a good opportunity as well. There's always that element, and then you know, they also do some charity work. They usually go visit usually a local hospital or somewhere of that nature, and you know, do that as well. So yeah, all in all, it's a great event, and you know, it's something the league brought back in Dave Andrews' second season. It was something that was a big initiative for him. The league actually had gone more than 30 years without it, and something he really wanted the league to have. And ever since they brought it back, it's been a pretty successful initiative, and really helps break up the season and expose, you know, a different element of the AHL, you know, to fans who don't necessarily get to see most of the teams, especially as this league has grown so much over the years.
And you mentioned a bit of a vacation, and some of our listeners might be wondering why we're doing the All-Star episode a couple weeks in advance. Well, it's because with the Belleville Senators off on their lengthy road trip, I'm taking a bit of an early All-Star break. So we figured we'd get this out of the way, and then we'll have all kinds of good stuff from the All-Star Classic and in the week leading up to it as well, because a lot of the names, or some of the names that we're going to talk about over the course of this show, are likely going to change in the weeks ahead with call-ups and things like that, as we mentioned right off the top. So that's why we're doing it now. We can tell you there's four names that aren't going to change, Pat, and those are the coaches that will represent each division. Chris Knobloch from Hartford in the Atlantic Division, Chris Taylor from the Rochester Americans in the North Division. We'll talk to Chris coming up in a few minutes. Carl Taylor from the unbelievably good Milwaukee Admirals in the Central Division, and Jay Verity from Tucson Roadrunners in the Pacific. And you'll hear it if you stay tuned and listen to my chat with Chris Taylor. I referred to him as an all-star a few times in our interview, and not that he wasn't flattered by it, but I don't think he necessarily felt like he personally did much to earn his way, because it's purely based on the way that the team plays. Essentially, whoever's leading the division at the cutoff, which is essentially the holiday break, that's which coach goes to coach the All-Star team. And, you know, he was obviously happy to be going, because as, you know, you'll hear, California is probably better than upstate New York in the middle of the winter time. But it's kind of interesting the way that the coaches are chosen. It's not like a draft like they've done in the NHL in the past or in other sports. You play for your division, and the coach of the top team is the one who goes.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, that's classic Chris Taylor. I mean, he's extremely modest, and he'll never toot his own horn. So I'm not surprised to hear that he would kind of hand wave that away and not want to really give himself any credit. But you know what? I think he deserves a lot of credit when he's done with that Rochester team. He came in there in 2017, and you know, a lot like the Buffalo Sabres, Rochester had a lot of troubles over the years, and just never really could generate much of a winning culture. And when they brought him in there, he'd just come back from the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, where he was for a year, and got a really up-close look at one of the top affiliations out there. And he brought all that into Rochester with him, and really turned things around there. And they've had some tough times in the playoffs, but certainly the regular season, they've brought back winning hockey to Rochester, one of the league's real classic markets. Second oldest, I should say, franchise in the league, has finally had some success again. And you know, he's a huge part of that. He's, you know, he's a real fixture there in Rochester. And you know, I think those young players with the Amherst have always, you know, he's a straight shooter who'll give you an honest answer, but he'll do everything he can to help you get to the NHL. And you know, those players really have blossomed, and he's done a pretty solid job in his 2.5+ years there.
I think all of the coaches actually that are going this year have interesting stories. That's Chris Taylor's, but I mean, you look at a guy like Chris Knobloch in Hartford, who has pretty much taken this team from the basement to the penthouse, a guy who's seen a pile of success at the junior level with the Erie Otters. And then you've got Carl Taylor in Milwaukee, who has just somehow managed to keep these guys level and successful with, you know, the incredible win streaks that they put together throughout the course of the season. And then a guy like Jay Verity, who's a young coach in the American Hockey League and has taken a team not quite as far down as Hartford was, but a team like Tucson up to the top of the standings. They've all got really interesting stories, and while they may foo-foo it a bit and say, well, you know, it was the team's play that got me recognized and got me there, you can have all the talent in the world. If the guy behind the bench doesn't know how to get them to work towards the same goal and to get the job done, the success won't be there. So I think there definitely is something to be said as far as these coaches earning their spots.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, it's something that's come up. I've talked to coaches who've coached all three levels, NHL, AHL, and junior. And a lot of them will tell you the AHL is the toughest level to coach simply because you have all the typical things that any coach has to deal with, which is injuries and streaks and players and inconsistency and all that. But you also have constantly changing your roster. You have players at different stages of their career. You have a 20-year-old top prospect, and then maybe you have a 30-year-old veteran who's kind of on his way down and is looking elsewhere and is not always necessarily on the team first page. And then you have a lot of guys that, frankly, are just trying to hang in the AHL. They're trying to avoid getting sent back to the ECHL. So you got to somehow kind of merge all that together and make it all work. And then you got to do that, you know, on top of having the 3-3s and the schedule grind and everything else that makes this league so tough. So I think any coach that can have any sort of sustained success in this league really says a lot about who they are as a coach. And, you look at, 23, 24 coaches right now in the NHL came through the American Hockey League, and that's no accident. I mean, it's a league that will test coaches and really kind of force them to sharpen their skills. And, before they get to that NHL level, they'll have seen a lot down here. So guys like both Chris and Carl Taylor, Jay Verity, and an interesting guy like Chris Knobloch, who coached Connor McDavid in the OHL, then went right to the NHL, and now is getting his first crack at the AHL and handling it pretty well. So, you have guys that have kind of come from a lot of different backgrounds and had different levels of success. But yet they've all kind of managed to end up in the same way here, going with an invitation to go out to Ontario and represent it. It's a big honor. There's 31 teams in this league, and only four coaches get to go. And so I think it speaks a lot to what they've done and the job that they've been able to put in. And I think it's no downplay, but it really is an honor for them, and it says a lot about the job they do really all season long.
Well, let's get into Chris Taylor's interview. The Rochester Americans visited Belleville last week, and I was able to chat with him. For those who don't know the resume, along with being in his third season as the head coach of the Rochester Americans, he's got a lengthy playing career. He was with the Rochester organization has been with them for 14 seasons in all capacities, player, assistant coach, and head coach. He helped the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins and the Pittsburgh organization to get to a Stanley Cup by in a development role there, helping 15 guys to earn recalls. He's got a fair amount of pedigree as a coach and as a player. And like we have said all season long on this show, anytime we get to talk to a head coach, especially one who has that kind of pedigree, it's an exciting time.
It is, and especially one that we're really is willing to talk and share his thoughts. And he's a really honest coach. He's the kind of guy that's pretty plain spoken guy. He's the younger brother, actually, of Chris, or I should say, Tim Taylor. So hockey runs in that family. Tim Taylor now works in the St. Louis system as they're in the player development capacity. So they're both of them are, I mean, Chris or Tim Taylor was a top-notch pro for years, won 2 Stanley Cups, was an NHL captain. And Chris was, a lot of that was a similar way at the AHL level. And, you know, I think at some point he'll be in the AHL Hall of Fame. You know, everything that you could want from him, he's seen over the years. He's won championships. He's been on good teams. He's been on bad teams. He's gone to Europe, played 149 games in the NHL. So, you know, there's not too much you could throw at him that he hasn't seen before. And he's able to guide those young players through that and show them the ropes. And I think that's so crucial. This is such an overlooked part of the hockey world in general, that these players don't just show up in the NHL ready to play. There's a whole years and years of work that go into it, and it's guys like Chris Taylor that really make that work, because it's hard to get these players ready. And we see all the time how many first round, second round picks don't make it, and it just goes to show you that I call the AHL the moat. You know, the NHL is the castle, the AHL is the moat. And you got to somehow make your way through it. And there's alligators and there's all sorts of obstacles that can really slow down a player. And really, most of them have had nothing but success up to that point. And this is usually the first real obstacle they face. And it will be guys like head coaches, Chris Taylors of the world that will help us guys navigate that and get there, because they're not going to get there on their own. We've seen in the past where it was a little bit more of a kind of cross your fingers and hope the best approach to player development. Well, that's all changed. And it's much more hands-on now. And you want to have a real skilled development staff down there, because if you don't, we've seen that time and time again with some of the weaker NHL franchises. One of the real things they have in common, they don't develop players well and they don't manage them well. They really can come back and bite them. So if you can have a real experienced coach like that, you're already well ahead of the game.
And he's done an outstanding job with the Rochester Americans to start off the American Hockey League season. Chris Taylor, the head coach of the Amerks, joins us next on Around the Eight.
Thanks for joining us, Coach.
Well, thank you very much.
Named the coach of the North Division All-Stars because of your team's excellent first half of the season. With the lowest goals against in the league, is it safe to say that responsible defense has been one of the keys to victory so far?
Well, it has been, for sure. Obviously, our goaltending rate from the start has been really good, and our team defense has been excellent. And we've been trying to take care of that going forward, and I think that's why we've had some success.
It's a veteran group, to say the least, one of the oldest rosters in the American Hockey League. Does the coaching style change at all with older guys, given especially the trend towards younger teams in this league?
Well, it's a little mixture of both. We tend to look at, the players' needs and what they need each and every day. And, our guys might be a little bit older, but they're in great shape and they come to work every day. And they're actually the motivational for our younger guys and teaching them how to be a pro. So, I don't think it changes too much. And, it's nice to have the extension of those players in the room that, help us out, to help the young guys out.
And I suppose when you've got so many guys that are veterans in this league and have been around, maybe there's a little less teaching and a little more, monitoring what you want, or?
Well, no, I think, each and every year there's something different that we want to change with our systems. And, I think they just grasp it a little bit quicker in that regard. But also it's still day-to-day we have to do a lot of teaching. It's just, and they want to get better. It's not just because they're older that they're going to be stuck in the American League. We want them to get to where they want to get to as well. And, we've had guys that have been 30, 31 get chances in the NHL, and that's exactly what we want. So they're trying to prove themselves every day, just like the younger guys.
And, you've got a few pretty young prospects as well, guys like Casey Mittelstadt for one, or Lawrence Pilot. What do guys like that have to do to get a foothold in the organization?
Well, the biggest thing for them is getting lots of ice time, challenge them in different situations, putting them in key face-offs at different times, that maybe they're not comfortable with, make them a little bit uncomfortable in situations, and you know, and just exploit them, you know, and learn by their mistakes, because they're going to make mistakes. That's what this what it's all about, is how they learn from those mistakes and come back from it. So it's with Casey and Lawrence, you know, those two guys are big parts of our team right now, and you know, we expect them to you know, thrive in this league, but we also expect, you know, there's going to be lots of mistakes with them, and that's part of it.
You mentioned your goaltending has been outstanding. Andrew Hammond, who Sens fans would be familiar with, obviously. What has adding a guy like that into the lineup done for your club?
Well, he's been calm, and he's helped Johansson out a lot in practice. He's just he's very good at playing the puck, helps our defense out a lot. You know, when you have a goalie that can play the puck as well as he does, it helps our breakouts a lot. And, you know, so he's done a really good job with that, and he's worked very well with Johansson and bringing and helping maturing him, and they've both been feeding off each other, so it's been really good to have him back there.
We're chatting with Chris Taylor, the head coach of the Rochester Americans. You played in this league for a long time. You've been a coach now for a long time. Aside from the maybe trend to youth, are there any other trends that you've picked up perhaps over the last few years in the league?
Well, I think the biggest thing is how to get players excited each and every day. You know, it's a long season. There's a lot of practices going involved because we cut down the schedule a little bit. So it's just always trying to keep everything fresh for the players and make them want to come to the rink, that they're enjoying coming to the rink. And, you know, either if it's a 6-1 win or a 6-1 loss, we want everybody to come in the same way and make sure they're still working hard, but also enjoying each other, enjoying the time, the experiences that they have, and the learning experiences, because it's you know, as you know, it goes by very quickly, and you know, we want to get guys to where they want to as quick as possible.
Yeah. What are some of the ways you can freshen things up? I guess because, I mean, players are creatures of habit, obviously, and it's a very routine season. But how do you do that?
Well, we just try and change practice up a lot. We try and make some practice a little bit more fun and more you know, little games here and there. And you know, we're a close-knit group. You know, we made sure that guys want to come into our dressing room and stay in our dressing room for a while, not just get there, you know, practice and get out of there. And it's been really good that way, and I think our veteran leadership has really done a good job with that.
It's all about really creating a culture, I suppose, and Rochester being such an historic organization in this league has a fair bit of it, given that you've played and coached it in this market. What is it about Rochester that seems to be such a hot spot for the AHL?
Well, first and foremost, we have great management, and you know, they've done a really good job of finding really good people, especially the veterans. You know, you know, as you draft, you want to find really good people, but as veterans, you know, they have any place that they want to go, and you know, we have to select the right ones that fit our culture. And so management's done a really good job, and then we've created a lot of different things around our arena that, you know, guys want to come back, and they want, you know, they. Our team is lucky enough that our general manager's got us breakfast and lunch. So we eat breakfast and lunch together every day, and everybody sits with everybody at different times. And it's just nice to, you know, sit down and enjoy each other and talk about their family and get to know them personally. And, you know, same with their families coming into the town. And I think it's really good that Buffalo and Rochester are so close, 45 minutes, that, you know, it's an easy transit if someone does get recalled, or vice versa, in the fact that Casey was reassigned to us. So it's just kind of nice that we have that close proximity, that, you know, we're always keeping in contact with each other.
And lastly, we mentioned off the top, you're headed to the All-Star Classic in California in a few weeks. What's the reaction to getting that to honor, and what do you hope to get out of the weekend as a coach?
Well, a tribute to that's an organizational thing. You know, they have to send one person over there to represent, and that's how the American League does, sends the coach. And, you know, obviously, it's first and foremost, it's the players executing what they do. And then, obviously, it goes to our management of building this team, and then all the rest of our staff and coaches, and, you know, go strength and conditioning coach to, you know, everybody. You know, it's just it's a tribute to the whole organization that I'm going. I'm just representing them. But you know, it's gonna be fun to see a lot of different players I haven't seen. You know, you don't play a lot of teams in this league, and it's nice to see different players, and even different players on different teams, and listen and talk to them and see their different ideas and what they're going through this year. So it'll be a fun experience.
And not a terrible thing to trade upstate New York for California in January for a few days.
No, exactly. So that would be nice to get some sun out there.
Coach, thanks so much for this. Good luck tonight and the rest of the way.
Thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
Episode 13 of Around the A continues with David Foote and Patrick Williams. I've been calling it our All-Star extravaganza, but I feel like I'm jumping the gun a little bit, seeing as you're going to be at the All-Star Classic, Pat, and you're going to have so much good stuff from that for us to use here on the show. That show the last week of January will probably be the true All-Star extravaganza.
Yeah, you know, I like, first of all, I want to say I applaud the use of extravaganza. I think we need to bring that word back. And it's a fun event. I think that'll be, I guess, more, like you said, the quote unquote real show. But, I've always found that, I mean, that week is really crazy because so much comes out of that week. In the past, you've had teams announce relocations or the teams have announced that they're coming online. A couple years back, it was Laval and announcing their team name. So yeah, there's always something that seems to crop up there. And I think especially this year with it being final season for Dave Andrews, that will be a really unique element that we haven't had in the past. And certainly just there's always a couple of wild card things that you don't even see coming. One of the big questions that was out there last year was Palm Springs or the future affiliation for Seattle, and mm-hmm. It ended up being Palm Springs. So that question has been settled. But now certainly as Seattle starts to really get their franchise going, that'll be something that starts to ramp up both at the NHL and the AHL level. So, I always, find that I've actually talked about this in the past with some of the people from the league. We all wish it could, the event could be a couple of days longer simply just to fit everything in there. But, it's a fun event and it's filled with news. And I don't think this year will be any different. In a lot of ways, the game on the ice is almost, kind of 1A and 1B with everything that's happening off the ice with all the business. And, that's always a real interesting and fun time of the year, in this league, because it really shapes where things are going.
Yeah, and you get the skills competition, you get the All-Star Challenge, which, for those who aren't familiar, it's very similar to what the NHL is doing now, where each division is a team and they play a little 3-on-3 tournament sort of thing. But you also get the Hall of Fame induction, which, for some leagues, they'll do at the end of the year, but we'll find out in just a few weeks who's going to go into the AHL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, this is an initiative, again, for Dave Andrews that he brought back, or actually, he didn't bring it back. He established it about 15 years ago, and it was kind of a real big thing that the AHL wanted to have because, for so many of these guys, and, they had fantastic careers, especially a lot of the ones that really came early on. I mean, this was a league that's back in the original six days was, kind of almost any of those guys playing there would have been in the NHL now and would have been top players. So, a lot of those guys, I mean, we're going back 50, 60, 70 years in some cases, the NHL really did want to honor them and made sure that they were noted and kind of, really commemorated. So this is a good class this year. Denny Amel is a former Ottawa Senator, so certainly familiar. He was a pure sniper back in his day. One of those classic guys that could kind of put up a lot of penalty minutes and also, put up tons of goals. He had 56 goals in the lockout season. Darren Haydar was a fantastic playmaker and probably wouldn't be in the NHL had he been about 10 years younger. He was small, and that was the knock against him, but he could play. He could set up plays. So he was always good. And then Robbie Fatorik, a longtime coach as well. So there's a lot going on there. And then it's always interesting. They have a good guest speaker. And I don't think this year will be any different. And it's been fun over the years to see some of these guys, especially a lot of them who, they retired years and years ago. I kind of moved into more normal life, and now they, they're remembered one more time years after they played. And I think for them, it's a big thrill because, for a lot of players back then, especially, they didn't get a whole lot of, notoriety or anything. So for a chance to really kind of have a little moment in the spotlight, I think it means a lot to these guys.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And it's a moment in the spotlight for these players as well. Let's take a look at the rosters. We won't list them all, but I mean, you can find them online if you visit the AHL website. But interesting to see that for the most part, it's a lot of first-time guys who are going to be going.
Yes, it's a good group. You know, good. I really like in general they try to make it a nice blend of the real top prospects, but also throw in some good veteran guys there as well. You know, the guys who are the backbone of the league in a lot of ways, the guys who are there year in and year out, who don't always necessarily get a ton of attention, but those veteran guys, they hold this league together in a lot of ways, and they make it a lot easier for those young top prospects to find their way. So, yeah, it's a good group, and I really like some of the picks. I mean, you go right down the list. I'm interested to know some of the guys that you're interested to see, just guys that have really caught your eye over the course of the season.
Well, let's go division by division, shall we?
Sure.
You don't always think of defensemen, I think, when you think of all-stars. Rasmus Sandin is on there. We talked about him on our show last week and his standout performance at the World Juniors. But one guy who has stuck out to me is Brogan Rafferty out of Utica. First-year player, and just like he looks like he's going to be in the NHL real soon. He's just outstanding on both sides of the puck for a defenseman, defensively. And offensively, he's extremely good. So that would be a big standout for me in the North Division. In the Atlantic, I was surprised to see that Chris Driedger is making his first appearance. That's a guy who kind of fell behind here in Belleville a couple seasons ago, mm-hmm. was off the map, and here he is in Springfield, one of the league leaders in goals against, and is just having some kind of year. So I was really excited to see a guy like him be able to make his first All-Star appearance. Mike Scarbosa from the Hershey Bears is going for a second time. And, I mean, he's just a steady, solid guy who had a great junior career with the Saginaw Spirit and then has carried that over here into the American Hockey League. In the Central Division, Chris Terry stands out as making his fifth AHL All-Star appearance. And Kevin Lankin in the goalie from Rockford, who we've talked about on this show, a little bit, a big standout as well. And out in the Pacific, I mean, we don't get to see a lot of these guys slash any of them, but someone like Kyler Yamamoto from the Bakersfield Condors, who is a young player, really trying to make a mark in the league and show what he is capable of. And then a more veteran defense guy again, like Kyle Capobianco, who I believe played for the Sioux Greyhounds, and familiar with him from his OHL days. So, I mean, you can go top to bottom down this list, and I don't think there's anyone that you look at and go, yeah, you know what, I don't know if that guy deserves to be here, because they're all extremely deserving. And we should say it's a little bit of an interesting selection process because, like the NHL, every team has to be represented, which I am a fan of. Some people are not. But I think it makes the selection process a little bit different.
It does. You're trying to get you get 12 spots per team. You have 8 teams in 3 out of the 4 divisions other than the Pacific. So right off the bat, I mean, you're pretty squeezed for space to start with, and you have to have, your goalies. So 2 goalies per team. So you're at that point now. You're down to 10 spots for 8 teams in terms of skaters. So it's a tight fit. I mean, and you go right down the list, and there's it's just inevitable that some guys just sheer numbers aren't going to allow everybody to make it. And but I think the good thing about that is usually there is some changes because of player recalls or what have you that do allow some of those guys who maybe got passed the first time to eventually get on the team and represent their team. So it's good that way. So it's a really good group, and certainly interested to see how these guys go. And you really get to see some of their skill that always isn't maybe on display during a game because of one reason or another, but when they're able to really kind of let it all out, you really get a good sense of just how high the skill level is for these guys at this level.
Well, yeah, because so much of the American Hockey League as a player is learning systems and following direction. And I mean, you hear from some of the more successful guys in this league about how they found the balance between essentially doing what the coach tells you and doing what your brain tells you is the right thing to do in the moment. And you put these guys in a 3-on-3 situation where points aren't on the line. It's more pride and bragging rights than anything, and they get a chance to really flow and have a little bit of fun, and that to me is such a big thing in sports. I think guys will play at their best when they're having fun, and an event like this really gives players a chance to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, this leaves in a lot of ways about systems and learning the real small details. But, I'll take a guy like Jake Bean. I mean, Jake Bean's not in the American Hockey League because of a lack of skill. Jake Bean's in the American Hockey League simply to, he's to round out some elements of his game, systems, and learn how to play with a little bit more consistent pace and things like that. But certainly skill-wise, he's got that element every bit to play in the NHL. And he will at some point. He's a first-round pick, 13th overall, and has done nothing but really had success at the pro level. And now it's just a matter of just sanding down some small little rough edges in his game. But certainly, you go right down the list. I mean, there's some real, real high-end guys. There's Matt Bolson. He played in the NHL for 10 years, was a real top scorer at that level. Now he's bringing that down to the American Hockey League. And then, we talked about Igor Shesterkin. I mean, kind of feels like every week almost on this show. And, there's that. There's Paul Carey, who's a sniper, with Providence. And right down, the list. And then you have guys like Morgan Frost. So he's kind of satisfies the prospect list. Owen Tippett, 10th overall pick back in 2017. And then you just write down the list. Kind of a real who's who of good young top prospects. And it goes to show you just where the skill level is in this league. You have guys like Rasmus Sandin, played World Juniors, stand out there. Now he's in the American Hockey League coming back. And and yet you also have the veteran guys, the guys like a Chris Terry, guys who've played in the NHL level, who've shown that they can do it up there and now are back here for one reason or another. So it's a real interesting group. And I think that's one of the cool things about the American Hockey League level. It's almost like a crossroads of the hockey world between the younger guys on their way up and some of the older guys that have had their time in the sun are now a little bit on their way down. So they kind of meet here and, it makes for a really interesting blend of hockey. And now certainly with the All-Star game, you kind of get them all in one area and let them just play and not have to worry about systems and all that. And it really allows that skill to stand out.
We'll talk to one of the most skilled guys in the American Hockey League, Reid Boucher, coming up in a few moments, league-leading scorer and member of the Utica Comets, and again making his third appearance at the AHL All-Star Classic. Speaking of skill, Pat, a big part of the weekend, and to me, the most important part of the weekend, is the skills competition. I like the 3-on-3 tournament. That's fine. It's great. But I'm a skills competition guy. I want to see guys fire targets down as fast as they can or skate as fast as they can and really, isolate the skills that are needed to play this game. Is there a favorite event for you at the skills competition, or are you one of the guys that could do without it?
No, I definitely like it. I mean, I frankly prefer it to the game for that matter. And I'm always been a fan of the fastest shot, hardest shots. I think, especially these days with all the composite sticks and everything, it really allows, you've got a great sense of just how powerful some of these shots are. And I always suggest to fans, if you ever get a chance, either go down for warm up or go, if you can sneak down or whatever lower level. And just even for 5 minutes to see those shots come in. I mean, you get a real sense of what goalies are facing on a nightly basis. A guy like Reid Boucher, especially, I mean, he can just rip it. He's the kind of guy who's got a lifetime 13.3 shooting percentage. And it's no coincidence. He has a shot that he'll use pretty much from anywhere. And for good reason, he can brain it, and you get a good sense, I think with that hardest shot competition, what those goalies see on a basis. It looks so easy on television or sitting up higher, but when you're down there, it's just like, wow, these guys are good. And just every year, just a little bit higher skill level. And I'm just amazed at, even in just a little bit of time, relatively speaking, since I started, how far the skills come and, how these guys are able, whether they're talking skating or shooting or what, just what they can do, on ice with a stick and a slab of rubber. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Let us know what you think, what your favorite skills competition event is on Twitter @AroundTheAPod. Maybe you're not a fan of the skills competition. Tell us why. We'd love to hear from you. Because as I've said on this show before, feedback is the breakfast of champions, and we want as much feedback as we can get. We're going to find out in a couple of minutes here what Reed Boucher's favorite event is, or which one he is hoping to take part in, as we chat with the leading scorer in the American Hockey League. Any last thoughts on the weekend coming up? Again, it's January 26th, 27th in Ontario. What are you looking forward to most, Pat, since you're going to be there?
I always enjoy, and I think you can relate to this as a jersey aficionado. You've seen all the jerseys out there, all, you know, combinations that you don't always see. You get to see a Laval jersey next to, let's say, a Tucson jersey. And I don't know. I mean, I know it sounds a little silly, but I always think that's a cool element. Kind of bringing the league together, because especially now with so many teams and it's so spread out, it can sometimes feel like, you know, kind of two leagues within one. So you get a little bit more sense of one league camaraderie, or whatever the right word is. So I think that's always a cool thing. The other thing I always notice is just, I said this before, just it's neat to see how the players, they kind of let their guard down. Players are a lot more guarded than they used to be. And but I think for a couple nights, they're able to sort of, you know, breathe and be themselves, and they have nobody kind of, you know, hovering over them and watching their every move. They're just able to kind of get back to playing hockey, the reason they started in the first place. And then the way they interact with the fans, I mean, they just are, it's such a fan-friendly event. I mean, you bring your kid there, and they're just going to really, I think, have a memory to take away. And it's just a really neat event. Every year they seem to do a really nice job. And I think back to all the different events I've been over the years. Each one of them has been successful. And I think this one will be no different. And I think the element of exposing a whole new fan base, a lot of fans who have never seen this before, should add another, cool aspect to it that we haven't seen in the past.
And speaking of the All-Star jerseys, they will likely be coming out any time now, potentially even today. Again, for those who missed the top of the show or fast-forwarded through it or whatever, we're pre-taping because I'm headed out on an early All-Star break, so they could be out at the time of this taping. We will have full analysis on our next episode of Around the A.
This is a very jersey-friendly environment here. We mm-hmm. we like our jerseys here, you especially. And there's no amount of in-depth analysis that's too much on this show when it comes to AHL fashion and hockey fashion in general.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe we'll ask Reed Boucher about jerseys, too. We'll have some fun with him. He joins us next on Around the A. Again, Boucher making his third appearance at the AHL All-Star Classic. He's the leading scorer in the league, and he plays for the Utica Comets and is just lighting it up for Utica again this season. So we'll chat with him, and then we'll be back to wrap up this 13th episode of Around the A on the Sports Podcasting Network. Thanks for taking some time for us.
Yeah, no problem.
Mentioned you've had a fair bit of success lighting the lamp over the last couple of seasons. How much fun are you having right now being able to score as easily as you seem to be able to?
I don't know if it's easy, but yeah, it's nice. I'm kind of known as a goal scorer, so maybe it comes a little more naturally to me. But, we've had a lot of good teams in the past couple of years here, and a lot of good players helping me along.
Yeah, and I suppose easy is a relative word. For you, it's easier than some. But what are the keys to being successful offensively in this league? Because it is a difficult league to score in.
Yeah, I mean, just it all comes down to hard work. I mean, the harder you work, the more you break down teams' defenses, the more open looks you get. And, it helps. You know, like I said, the last couple of years I've been playing with some really good line mates that have been able to give me pucks in situations to score.
Let's talk about the season so far. You guys got off to a flying start, a little bit of a bump, but seem to have recouped from that a little bit. How would you describe the season to this point?
I think it's been good. I mean, we're sitting in a good spot in the standings right now. Obviously, we're pushing to get into the top spot, but, it's been a solid season. Everybody's team's been playing well all year long. Like you said, we had a bit of a bump in the road, but I think we nullified that pretty quickly and got back on track.
You've been in the North Division for a couple of seasons now. It seems historically to be extremely tight every single year. Does it change the way that you look at these divisional games at all?
Yes and no. I mean, we want to play the same way every night, no matter who the opponent is. But, you know, all these divisional games really matter. I mean, a lot of four-point swings in these games. So, you know, it's... yeah, they're very important.
Just a general thought on what it's like playing in Utica for our fans who might not be familiar with the market. And some folks might look at Utica and go, well, it's just kind of a small town upstate New York. But the fans there are outstanding. What's it like playing there?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I think it's one of the best spots to play in the American League. You know, we have a full house every night. Crazy screaming fans. It's a really fun place to play.
Yeah, the couple games I've done there, I've described the fan base as almost like a wrestling crowd. They're real loud, really into the game.
Yeah, they get very into it. They have a knowledge for the game, which, you know, they cheer at good times and they get on you at bad times. So, you know, it makes it fun.
Yeah. How much of a difference does it make to have a vocal fan base as opposed to some that just kind of sit there and take the game in?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of momentum shifts when the fan get, or when the fans get behind you, it makes it a hard place to play in as a opposing team, and it makes it a fun place to play as a home team. So, yeah, it's a big home advantage for us.
You were named back to the AHL All-Star Classic again. What's the reaction to making that list again?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great honor. It's, you know, it's something that you try to do every year. It's a fun thing to go do, and bring your family and all that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, trading California for upstate New York in the middle of January is probably not too bad.
Yeah, nice to get away from the cold weather a little bit, and you know, maybe get a suntan.
Is it any different your second plus time around, or as a veteran player? Like, what do you get out of the All-Star game if it's not your first time?
Yeah, I mean, like, I bring my son, and it's fun to be around him in the locker room and all that, and you know, enjoy it with your family. It's a kind of a free vacation, I guess, so get to go you know, see some different cities and enjoy what life's like out there.
Lastly, what are your goals for the rest of the season for yourself and for the team? Obviously, you're at the top of the scoring race again. I would assume that is on the radar, or are you just going to try to play and see what happens?
Yeah, I mean, the goals I have for this year are more team-based. Like, we want to be top of our division, obviously, and, you know, get into a home ice position in the playoffs and hopefully make a good run.
Yeah. Reed, thanks so much for this.
Yeah, thank you.
Episode 13 of Around the A, Season 1 with David Foote and Patrick Williams winding down. Thanks to Reed Boucher for his time at the morning skate the other day as his Utica Comets came through Belleville. Really looking forward to seeing him and some of the other guys across the league put their skills on display at the AHL All-Star Classic coming up on January 26th and 27th. You know what's one thing I would really like to see, Pat? Like to see All-Star games done outside. The Winter Classic was played a few weeks back in the NHL, Dallas and Nashville. And while it's cool and it's a spectacle, I feel like for what the Winter Classic and outdoor games are supposed to be, you know, old school, playing on the pond type of feel, I feel like it's the perfect fit for an All-Star game. And I would love to see a league, maybe the American Hockey League, take the lead on that and do something cool with an outdoor All-Star festivities.
That would be interesting, and certainly for the American Hockey League, that would be, I think, doubly interesting because, you know, they've done quite a number of outdoor games over the years, always the standard, you know, regular season type game. But I think you know, if you look at you know, if you look at some of the more traditional markets in this league, certainly there's no shortage of cold weather markets in this league. We know that for sure. And I think it would be a neat way to really combine both, you know, obviously everything that an all-star game brings with that element of the outdoor game. And, you know, it's always, you know, a fun thing. I've been to a couple of them in the AHL, and the fans just really, you know, no matter how many times they have them at the NHL and the AHL levels, fans still really go crazy for them, and they turn into a whole big event. And I think it would be really, you know, obviously the logistics are tough and certainly the cost is an issue, but it would be fun. I think that's a good point. I'd like to see that idea get around more and gain some traction, because I think it'd be a nice way to, you know, generate some publicity for the league. And I think players would certainly, I mean, we see how players go crazy for it. And I don't think you had any trouble getting players to want to come to that and have a chance to play outside. You know, I can think of any number of teams out there that would be excellent candidates for that.
Yeah, and if you wanted to do an alumni game the day before with team from the host market, you could. I just think it'd be an interesting way to spice things up a bit. Maybe, as you say, Pat, get more guys to be willing to go, because that seems to be an issue. And could be some good publicity for the league if that's something they decided to do. But hey, what do I know? Just a thought that I had while I was watching the Winter Classic on New Year's Day with Nashville and Dallas. And we will have so much more from the AHL All-Star Classic as well. Pat's headed out west. He's going to chat with as many players as he can and get in on President and CEO Dave Andrews' State of the League address, his final one. And who knows what other news we could have come out of the whole weekend, Pat. We know Palm Springs is the team. Do we maybe get a logo and a name?
Maybe. It's hard to say.
Seems like a good time.
It does. Seattle also has to announce their name and everything that goes with that as well. So maybe that will hold off. And, you know, I think they would like to try to, you know, we've seen the trend now over the last number of years where you want to kind of match up, or at least similarly match up, the NHL and the AHL team in terms of names and logo. But you know what? At this point, you know, in my career, I know for sure that nothing in this league surprises me. Nothing in this business surprises me. And if you had told me back when I started that the AHL would be in places like Tucson and Palm Springs, I would have been very shocked. And nothing would surprise me. And there's always usually a couple of things on the left field that come out of these events. And, I think it's going to be an interesting time. And, you know, there is a lot going on right now in the entire industry in general. And it's increasingly a tough business for every sport, you know, competing against so many other elements out there that are battling for the entertainment dollar. So that's part of it. And, you know, and now, it's just a different era and players are different. But I'm interested to just see where this all goes. And I'll be actually heading down to Palm Springs. It's a short drive away from Ontario. And I want to kind of check the lay of the land there. I've never been to Palm Springs, but I certainly would like to get to know it better. And I'm excited to see what they have there. And I think this will sort of be the first real sense of where things are going with that and with all the other lay the land out there in California that the league has been building. So you know, I'm really interested to sort of see how that new Palm Springs franchise fits in. And I'm sure there'll be people on hand from that franchise in Ontario there to kind of see what a real successful operation like the Ontario Reign do on a day-to-day basis, because they're a pretty good team to model yourself after.
Yeah, absolutely. So lots to look forward to coming up in a couple of weeks after the AHL All-Star Classic. But next week, we've got more of our regular programming, if you will. We'll get back into who's hot, who's not. We'll talk to some of the noteworthy names around the league, including Joe O'Donnell, who is play-by-play voice of the Iowa Wild. We haven't touched on them a whole lot, if at all, yet this season. So we will hear from them, and we'll have a lot more as well coming up next week. So for now, we'll say goodbye. For Patrick Williams, I'm David Foote. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Around the A Pod. Rate, subscribe, do all the clicky things that show that you're interested in the show. That helps us out as well. And we'll talk to you next week on episode 14 of Around the A.
Thanks for listening to Around the A. Be sure to tune in again next week. Find Around the A on the Sports Podcasting Network, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Interact with us on social media. Give us your thoughts using the hashtag Around the A and follow us at Around the A Pod.